Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power session. So today's guest on the SEO Queen Tech Show is a database expert, an online magazine publisher, a mom, a speaker, and just an incredible, dynamic woman who can help you go monetize your digital assets. What digital assets am I talking about? I'm talking about your database. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Jerlene Tatum. How are you today?
I'm good. For a moment, I was like, who's she talking about?
Well, I'm talking about you. So you have Palacio Magazine and you have Tatum Cordova Strategies. Those are your two ventures. And so I want to know, like, what got you on this entrepreneurial journey?
Wow. Why am I an entrepreneur? Well, I had coming out of college, I worked in a corporate environment. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was part of an administrative team, went from being part of administrative team to being part of the technology team, started doing help desk work, started learning how to build databases, was using old Microsoft software, worked with but the database thing, it became like really exciting for me. And I wanted to create a database for everything, the technology team, the admin team. I created a database for the mail room. got married, had kids, stay at home mom, started to get involved in community work. And I was like, oh, I can, you know, do admin stuff for nonprofit organizations. Started working with nonprofit organizations and just started using the skills that I learned in corporate in community. Went back to work, worked in a nonprofit corporate office, and still the position that I had required me to manage data. And I was actually managing client data for a while, and then I started managing donor data. And my children at the time, they were small. It was really hard to, I didn't like having to ask permission to attend my children's events, or if I needed to leave work to go and be with my children. And one day I just decided I wasn't gonna go clock in on anyone's clock. And after burning through all my savings, I'm like, I need to figure out how I'm going to take care of myself and my family. And I started reaching out to organizations I was actually sitting in volunteer spaces and started learning that organizations were lacking mediums and avenues of managing their data, or they weren't using their data for their benefit. And I started offering to do that. And next thing you know, I started getting paid and I started building a menu of services, and that's it. That's where I am now.
So. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me, like, how did you start Tatum Cordova Service Strategies? Like, what was the first step that you took to launch that?
Prior to Tatum Cordova Strategies, I had several other business names. And I had several other business names that had to do with administrative work. Because, like, for me, anything that has to do with data is tied to your administrative back office. And when I was, the way I actually came up with the Tatum Cordova Strategies, Tatum is my family, my paternal family name. Cordova is my maternal family name, my mother's maiden name. And so I wanted to do something. I wanted to have a business, first of all, that identified the names of my family. But the strategies piece actually came from a consultant that I was working with that had did data, that had did graphic design for me. For like every organization I worked for, every nonprofit I worked with, I had this graphic designer. And I told him that I wanted a logo, and I wanted my logo to be representative of my family. So the name Cordova is actually a royal name in somewhere in the world. So I wanted this concept, this logo that represented that. And he comes back to me with these shills, and I was like, I don't feel that. And he says, I have something for you. And it was a queen chess piece. And at that time, the only name I had was Tatum Cordova. And he's like, Jerlene, I've been working with you for decades. He says, you are a strategist. He says, you strategize on all the events you put together. He says, you are able to strategize. He's like, someone can give you an idea, and you turn that idea into reality. And that was how the strategy part came. And so it was kind of like, it was almost backwards in a sense of how I built my business. Cause I was like, wait a minute, I am a strategist. I do create, whether it is event planning, being able to see the event from when someone walks in the door at registration and walk out the door at the end of the day, it's all strategy, whether it is building the database. Yet in my mind, I see that registration sheet as database material or next event material. So it was built, the name almost helped me to build my concept for my business. But my
name that's awesome.
Came from my graphic designer.
So let's talk about what is a database and how can businesses and nonprofits benefit from a database?
Okay, well, database. We use databases for everything. Every time we open up social media and we click on our friends list, that's a database. When we go to the bank, our money, our withdrawals, our checks, everything's in a database. Our name's in a database. Everything. I mean, the content in your phone is a database. Excel sheet, organizations, companies that's keeping track of their clients, their customers, their supporters in an Excel sheet, that's a database. Yet what happens, people are collecting this information and they're not using it. Well, we know when we go to the bank, our database, they're very efficient at managing data, right? I work with organizations to help them be efficient in managing their data, whether it's an Excel sheet. And there's organizations that they've been putting information in Excel for years. And when it's time for their major event or it's time for a mailing, they pull out this Excel sheet and they're trying to make sense of it. I help organizations and companies find tools that they can dump that data in, that can generate their report, their mailing labels, their graphs, in minutes versus every year sorting through that data, trying to do a mail merge.
Right. I remember when I was in college, I helped a PhD candidate with their research and they had to do a mail merge, and it was intricate. process. So, like, you know, I think from what I'm gathering is like a lot of people gather data, but they really don't do anything with it. And then when they really need those connections, they don't have it or they're scrambling. So what tips do you have for people who have data to, you know, make to develop and nurture a relationship so they're not scrambling when they have an event or when they have an offer or when they, you know, need donations? What recommendations do you have for that, for nurturing the relationship?
One, being intentful in knowing the data. Who's in your database? Do you take the time to know that person's name, their demographic, how much they've given or how much they've purchased? Because those things are going to let you know, are they going to give again? Are they going to purchase again? Was this someone who you encounter once and you're never going to encounter again? Because even when you say, for example, an organization wants to send out a mailing list and they have 100 people in that mailing list, well, it doesn't make sense to send to 25 of those people if those people are never going to engage with you again. Because to send something out, then that's a waste of money. So, but to see how that data translate to their financial well-being. And like, so what is every contact worth? Is it worth something? Or are you just, you know, in the service of, you know, putting together emails and sending out lovely messages? Like, does that email, because every time a company or a nonprofit or a small business put out an email, that's time. Someone took the time to put that content together, to prepare that email, to send that out. Well, is that a free service or is it going to yield something? Is someone going to, so being intentful in you, like, why are you collecting the data? Is it because you just have it or because you want to engage with more clients or engage with more customers? So I think the first step is just being mindful of the why.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you really have to know why. Like, I know our reason for, you know, building up our database is that we want to build a vibrant, you know, Main Street community that where we're helping businesses to grow, whether or not they become a client or not. We want to just continue to get that value, give that value to people. We want to be a resource. So, like, when it comes to databases, I think another pitfall that I see is that people don't double check the quality of the data. Like, how can you make sure when you're putting together a database that the information that is put into it is accurate?
Well, it depends on how you're getting your information. Is the information being populated directly from the person who wants to be a part of your database, or is your staff putting it in? So, like, one way to collect data, say you help people with their websites, you help people grow their visibility with the website. Well, does that website have a contact field on it? So if it's a contact field on it, the viewer gets to enter their own information. And once they enter that information, where does it go? Does it just go into a form field somewhere that's downloaded into a spreadsheet, or does it dump into a database that can be utilized later for future mailings? And when that happens, when it gets to the database, is it tagged? Does it say this person went to the website and entered it? Because then you're able to identify, where did this person come from? On the other end, if it's been entered manually, having someone that enjoys data entry is mundane. And for some people, it is, they don't want to do it, but having someone that enjoys it and understands the value of why it needs to be done accurately. And I often talk to people, I said, when you go to the bank, do you like that your money is available for you? And they're like, yes. I'm like, well, how would you feel if your money got put into somebody else's bank account because someone made an error? They're like, I wouldn't like it. Like, you got to think about your data the same way. So
I wouldn't not like it. I'd be pissed.
Right.
I'd be pissed.
Right. So I know in that case, we think about money, but we got to think about our database. Right. The same thing is that staff right. person putting it in accurately and then checking it. I know people, we live in the social media world. So we are, you know, we use memes and abbreviations. So our ability to type has declined a little bit. Having someone who actually knows how to type. I'm discovering a lot of people don't know how to type.
Wait, what? People don't know how to type?
They don't know. They don't know the key. You tell home key, home row. They're like, a what?
QWERTY.
Yeah.
They don't know about QWERTY.
Right. So I think having someone that knows how to type, like I type 90 words a minute.
I type a little bit. I type between 80 and 90 words a minute myself. And
And I'll transpose because I'm typing so fast. I'll transpose like the, I'll have H-T-E instead of T-H-E. You know, that's because my fingers is moving a little bit too fast. I don't know if that's a skill set. So even like for organizations, having someone who has that skill set or be willing to train them in that skill set.
You know, I learned how to type in junior high. And let me tell you, that skill set saved my butt through school. Because when you're writing those last minute papers and being able to type as fast as you could think it up.
Yeah.
Ooh, child.
I'm a get up in the morning before class and type my paper person.
Yeah, that was me too.
Yeah.
Me, I was more like the night before, and I'd hardly sleep the night before typing those double space 10 page papers.
Mm-hmm. I'd show up to class with paper in my hand and my pajamas.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's really important. So like, one thing that you said is that you started out in corporate America and then you eventually started helping nonprofits in the community. What has drawn you to being so active in the nonprofit and the public sector?
When I was in corporate, and I'm not sure, and actually I think this happened after I had children, my first child. It did happen after I had my first child. I was actually working in a technology department. And I was like the in-between for a help desk and individuals that made proprietary databases. Mm-hmm. And I was the in-between because I had the ability to communicate with the developers, the database developers, like they could talk to me and I understood what they were talking about. And I could communicate that back to the help desk people to make sure that on the user end, it was usable. And I remember there was like this fallout or something. And in my brain, I was like, I'm working for this corporation and who are they really serving? Like, who are they really helping? Who's getting rich? Like, that was like my thought. I didn't even really know too much about nonprofit organizations. Like, I didn't know, but I knew that I wanted to be in an environment where I was actually doing something to serve people. So even many of the clients that I have now, I'm kind of selective in how are they serving people. Nonprofits are profit. Nonprofits make profit too. They have to make profits. They have to be able to pay their employees. They have to be able to serve people. So it's not about if they're making a profit. Profit is fine, but how are they serving people? So now I look, just from that corporate, someone getting rich, and it's all about the bottom line versus elevating a community. That's kind of my mindset switched. And I started seeking out nonprofit organizations. And then be honest, I worked in nonprofit for a while. And I was like, it's still a corporation, right? I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't, because still in that, no matter what, it's still a corporation. You still got to deal with the bureaucracy. And I worked for one of the largest nonprofit corporation providing housing for veterans in the United States. So I saw a really large level. That was what kind of made me decide I wanted to work for me so that I could
pick and choose the projects you worked on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So tell me about three projects that you really enjoyed coming in and fixing their data and seeing some amazing results. Can you give me three three case studies.
Okay. I can't give you the names, but.
Oh, yeah. Protect the names. That's okay.
So one organization, they had been using the same donor database for 11 years, somewhere like something ridiculous. And what happened, I was a volunteer and I was hit on a committee for an annual event. And of course, my mind goes to how do you reach the people? How do you connect with people? How are you sending out the invites? And I got put on a committee where it was about outreach and getting people to sign up for, it was a breakfast, getting people to sign up and buy tables. And so I started asking all kinds of questions about the data. Like, are we going to be like, how many people are in your database and how many people normally come and how are the tables assigned? And I started asking all these questions. And after the meeting was over, the executive director asked to speak to me. And she was like, you were asking a lot of really important questions that people don't ask. And I'm like, well, you know, you want to fill the room, right? So how do you fill the room? How do you reach people? How do you know they're going to come? Who was given in the past? And they had all this information, yet they had it in an older database. So when it was time for them to pull it, it was a challenge. So they let me see the data. I'm still a volunteer. And they're like, hey, we need a new database. Do you have any recommendations? So what I did is, I went out and I did research on multiple databases. And one of them I had worked with for years. And I'll mention, I worked with a database named eTapestry. And I really loved it. And what was interesting, so they said, can you, do some of the lead work? And I did the lead work and I came to them and they're like, we're going to pay you. And I was like, no, you know, this is volunteer. I gave them five databases. But when I called eTapestry, although it had been many years since I worked with that particular database, the sales guy says, oh, you used to work for such and such organization. You live in Long Beach. Oh, your assistant's name was so-and-so. And I said, how do you know all this? He says, because we have a database and we could keep track of anybody that's ever had anything to do with our database. I was like, well, I haven't worked with that company for a really long time. And anyway, I ended up doing presentations on all the different options. They selected eTapestry, and the company, the eTapestry, provides a consultant that can help you through a conversion because they had 15,000 contacts and their database was 11 years old and it needed to be cleaned before we got to the conversion. They hired me on to do their conversion. And it was amazing because there was buy-in from the board of directors. There was buy-in from the staff. There was including the staff who had been responsible for the database. And it did take us a year to clean data. Because we had to do it in phases.
It took a year to clean the 15,000 contacts?
Yes. It took a year because they were actually working with multiple, they were using QuickBooks and some other things. And we were
Wow.
And then they had multiple programs that they wanted to multiple programs and multiple events of an organization that made the majority of their money or donor base was based off of events. All this had to be segmented. So what we did is we kind of cleaned it as we got to each event. So for a year, I ended up working with them for almost 2.5 years. Each event was a phase of the cleanup. Each event was a phase of the cleanup. And I don't know, I was really excited. And what came from that was other folks wanted, I became recommended to other nonprofits to do a similar to go through a similar process of conversion. So that was one. Let's see. Ooh, I don't know if I can name three because they all kind of, and then I did another nonprofit that had no database at all. No database, went through a similar process. They actually picked a new product that I had not worked with before, but was interesting. The founder of the product was the founder of the product I had worked with before. So there was some similarities. It was intuitive. And that was a different when you were working with an organization who had never had a database before. There was some culture change that had to happen. They were still very much paper. They were still taking addresses off of envelopes. It was like a 6-month project. What wonderful came out of that. I worked with a newly graduated college student, and she loved the process. And the particular product, the product we picked was Bloomerang. Well, this product offered classes, adult education classes.
Yeah, adult continuing credits, yeah, or something like that. If
to be trained on using their database, specifically in data, donor data management. So mm-hmm. I encouraged this young lady to do the program, the process. She went through the process. We complete the implementation of the database. I get a phone call from her, and she says, "I have enrolled into USC into a database program. Will you write me a letter of recommendation?" So she was going into a master's program, but that was how hyped up and how much she enjoyed the learning process of the implementation. And that was success. Like it wasn't necessarily the implementation of the database that I went with her, but that she found a niche and an excitement in that. And so what happens mm-hmm. with my process, it means that my process as a consultant gets slowed down because I'm teaching someone. Yet what good is it for me to go in and help an organization if I can't help them grow at a different level? So that was just that made me, so that was a win for me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you have really been helping nonprofits really monetize and streamline their databases. That's awesome. So yeah. When you were, when you were in corporate America, you were like, who is getting rich off of all of this effort? And you saw the need for nonprofits. Like, I know that you want to step further and you do a lot of activism in the city of Long Beach. What made you take that additional step?
It's because I'm constantly connecting the dots in my head, the same way that I connect data on a piece of paper or in a database. Mm-hmm. I do that for information. So I was seeing how there was a lack of communication or information happening within community. Like, our mainstream media would put out some information, but people would see the headline or they would read the article, but they would not see how it connected back to a policy that had recently been passed or an action that had taken place. And so I had always been active in community and in small circles and having conversations about these things, but I never did it on an online platform. So I started mm-hmm. doing that and just kind of connecting the dots. And it's sometimes it's like going down this rabbit hole, mm-hmm. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So, I see dots in my head. Like, I'm walking around, even when I'm talking to people, I can be in full blown conversation with someone. And while I'm having that conversation with someone, I am thinking about how this person is connected to somebody else. Like, oh yeah, this is so-and-so. Oh, they run this organization. Oh, that organization provides this service for the community. Oh, this policy was initiated, which would be helpful for this organization. Like, my mind, like,
right. So that's why you wear the polka dots, because you connect the dots.
Yes. 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 So, and that happened. I gave a presentation at a roundtable for nonprofit executives on database management. And that morning, when I was trying to figure out what to wear, I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear my polka dot dress. And I actually wear the polka dots as a visual mm-hmm. when I'm having conversations about connecting the dots. So I don't know how that started, but.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So, speaking of community and connecting the dots, you have a launch coming up.
Palacio Magazine. This,
yes. Tell me about that. Like, what made you become a online magazine publisher? Like, tell us about this and tell us, like, what can we expect from the launch of Plus Show magazine?
Well, I kind of don't feel like I wear that hat yet, but I'm trying to fit that hat. Plasio Magazine was actually a paper magazine that was in publication for about 10 years. And then it became a online magazine. So the original publisher, Andrea Solsuna, it was in print. And then it was taken over by Antonio Ruiz and it was online. And at first it was a very focus on Latino culture in Long Beach and surrounding areas. And then when Antonio took it over, he made it more multicultural and just kind of showing the amount of beauty in artistry in the city of Long Beach across ethnic groups. And Antonio decided he was not going to continue. And I had been following, like, I used to pick up the paper magazine at the coffee shop. I was like, this can't stop. I was like, this can't stop. This has to stop. This has to continue. So I reached out to Antonio and we spent several months kind of talking about vision. And I met with the original publisher about how do we keep this vision going? What things can be returned to, what didn't work. And that's how it happened. And I know I reached out to SEO Queen because I was like, I need help. Because honestly, when I reached out to Antonio, all I thought was about a website. I didn't think about an actual legitimate magazine. I was like, oh, it's a website. I was like, well, can I just pay to keep it up? And then when I met with him in the previous publisher, I was like, this is real publication. This is real. There's opportunity for real journalism here. And sat on it for months and months and months until I reached out to the SEO queen and said, I need some help. I need some help. And that's launch is going to be in September. And that's coming up real soon.
That's like a month away. I'm so excited for you because I think this is really a culmination of all the things that you've been doing. Cause I actually had a similar experience when I was sitting in my cube at my very well-paid job at Raytheon. You know, I felt like a small cog in this massive machine. And I felt like, you know, why am I helping, you know, rich people get richer? And I wanted to have a bigger impact, you know, so I've been drawn to working with small businesses. And so I think, you know, we share that commonality. I think it's also one of the another reasons why I think SEO is such a game changer, because it allows people like you and me to tell our own stories on our own terms, because the mainstream media it costs millions of dollars to get on to these channels or to buy an infomercial or put your message out there to the masses. But with a website that has SEO that's optimized, you can get your message out to the masses for pennies on the dollar compared to these other platforms. So that's another reason why I'm a podcaster. That's why I speak. That's why I build the community that I have and do all these things. So I definitely applaud you for keeping this platform up, because we, the people, need outlets like this to tell our stories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm excited. And what I've been doing over, because I've had it for over a year. Like I said, it's just been just sitting there. I have been meeting with small business owners and I've been having conversations with them and talking, and they're going to be within Long Beach. They're going to be the first people I tell their stories about. I'm going to tell their stories and how they came into business and why they are in business. And like, for example, the Bunts on Melrose or Handy Smoke House. Also, I have this crazy love for the farmer's market. So I've been going to the farmer's market and I've been talking to some of the vendors there. And although these vendors live all up and down Southern California, they bring their fresh produce to Long Beach multiple days a week. And these are families, and they are working with their children, and they have amazing stories. And I want to talk about that, especially as we came out of the pandemic. These are families that managed through the pandemic and continue to feed communities through their businesses. And so I'm going, one of the first series that I'm going to be doing is this farmers market series. And I'm going to be visiting some of the farms. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I think a lot of people, they hear about farmers markets, but they really don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So this is going to be pretty awesome. And maybe some of the school board people can get some of the elementary schools involved too, because, you know, kids, they love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. YMCAs. We have some local gardens that I would like to be able to connect with. And like, there's so many stories. And I know there's other local outlets within Long Beach that are telling some of these stories. I just want to tell them a little bit differently. You know, I want to tell them a little bit differently and invite. And I always believe there's enough people to be served. And right. Like, there's, mm-hmm. Once I launch, there's no desire to be in competition with someone else, because there is no competition. You know, this is, we all kind of connect with people at a different level. We have different audiences, and I'm hoping that I can reach an audience that's not being reached. And like I said, just tell like the story. I mean, I'm just the girl that grew up on the West Side, you know, that's it. You know, I just happened to be in community that I played in the street in.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, I'm a Long Beach native too. I grew up here, so I'm definitely passionate about my city, and I've lived in a lot of different places and everything. So I can definitely relate to that as well. So I just want to say thank you so much, Jerlene, for coming on to the SEO Queen Tech Show. This is a podcast to help entrepreneurs and professionals get more customers, clients, and revenue, and also to get inspired. And we're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio. And I just want to ask you, Jerlene, do you have any other final comments?
I just want to say thank you. I met you when you were playing the violin. And I thought it, and then when I later learned that you were the SEO queen, to me, it's inspiration that, you know, there's multiple layers to us, and we don't have to be just any one thing. You know, you don't have to be just the SEO queen. You are also, you know, Lady Z. And that's inspiring to me, because that was one of the holdups that I was having when I was trying to launch a business, of thinking I'd be one dimensional.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of layers over here. A lot of layers. Keep those layers organized is definitely a full-time endeavor. But how can people connect with Tatum Cordova Strategies and Play Show Magazine?
They can just start by going to JerleneTatum.com. It will take you to my LinkedIn, and that's where they can start. So just JerleneTatum.com, and that's
And how do you spell that?
JerleneTatum, last name, ATUM.com. So JerleneTatum.com.
Okay, awesome. So make sure you go to JerleneTatum.com and connect with this amazing sister. And also, I have to tell you guys, you know, show me some love on LinkedIn. Look up Z Scott, the SEO queen. Please connect with me on LinkedIn, and just put in the note when you add me, just put Bashani Radio. Please connect with me on LinkedIn, because I want to hear from you. And this has been an awesome episode of the SEO Queen Tech Show. And one last thing before we leave, I know this has been one of my longer episodes, but how was the Reach More Clients Power Conference, Jerlene? Tell me about that.
Oh, it was great. I got to share the stage with an SEO queen. So it was great. And I'm looking forward to next year. And it's definitely an opportunity for, I mean, to learn and engage, and data is everywhere. You know, data is everywhere. Data is on the backside of our websites. Data is in our telephone. Data is at the bank. So to be able to have understanding of how we all connect to data is important. So I'm excited for next year's conference.
I'm excited too. I am so excited. You know, next year's conference is going to be amazing. This year was amazing. And definitely, you definitely want to tap in and stay connected. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to the SEO Queen Tech Show. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.